Welcome into another edition of The Beacon. I think you're going to like what you hear, so let's get underway. No, we're not going to.
It was like 4 seconds.
No, that's okay. You know.
I know what you mean. I hear
you. You know, I'm telling you, you know.
That's right.
I'm still talking about that popcorn. That popcorn, oh my God.
You love it.
It's like seeing the Lord and coming back to talk about it.
It is, yeah. It is.
Honestly.
It is pretty good.
Oh, that's good stuff. You got to go downtown to get it.
I know.
You know, they have it at the train station, Ogilvy Center.
Yeah.
And you walk out into the into that concourse area.
Uh-huh.
And, oh.
I know, it's just like the wafting, just overwhelming.
And you know what it is? That's the caramel corn part of it.
I know.
Oh, it's so good.
That's how they get you.
Every time.
That's right. Oops, sorry.
Every time. What do you do? Are you going to break? Are you not going to place down?
I'm good. I'm ready. All right, 5:21.
Are you sure?
I'm good.
All right, 5:21, yes. Okay, we've established that already. So what are we doing today on the program?
Help Me See CEO is here to talk about his organization that trains doctors to provide cataract surgeries throughout the world.
Now, you know, this was interesting.
What's that?
Because he was telling me when we did the interview that they... there's some countries in the world that don't even have an ophthalmologist in the country.
Unfortunately, that doesn't surprise me. I think when you go to these really poverty-stricken countries and third world countries, it's probably not. There's probably a lot of specialties that we have the luxury of having here that they don't have in those countries.
And he also says that to do the cataract surgery in some of these countries, it costs $400. Well, over here, it's $4,000.
Wow.
And he says $400 is usually, if they're contributing, you know, just a small amount.
Yeah.
It'll take them 10 years to pay it off.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Just to be able to see.
Well,
so what they're trying to do is offset that.
Well, that's great.
You know, but with the doctors training the doctors. And you know who developed the training process? An airline pilot.
Really?
An airline pilot developed the process to remove
cataracts.
Cataracts.
That's fascinating.
Fascinating.
Wow.
Absolutely fascinating. I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
That's really cool.
You know, so, but he'll tell us more about that.
That sounds good.
You know, we'll go along and see what's see what he's got to say about that sort of thing.
That sounds great.
And of course. It's going to be, let us turn up the beat, back to smoothies.
Back to smoothies. We're going to be rounding out, I think this week is our last smoothie, next week. So we've got two more weeks.
1st of June.
Yes, 1st of June we'll be wrapping up our smoothie segment.
Boy, we dragged that thing through for a long time.
We really milked that for all it's worth, huh?
I'm telling you. And then we did, we're going to have... Sandy's beat.
Yep, she'll be here.
So
she'll be back
good.
Too.
Okay, so yep. We'll be right back. And of course, Tom's Corner.
Of course, that's a given.
I mean, that's a given.
It's unspoken.
Absolutely. we'll be back in just a little bit, and we'll be hearing about Help Me See right here on The Beacon.
What if magazines could talk? They can, thanks to Choice Magazine Listening, a free audio magazine for those unable to read standard print because of loss of vision or other disability. We'll send you recordings of memorable articles, fiction, and poetry, read by the best professional voices. Selections are chosen by our editors from over 100 notable publications, such as The New Yorker, Smithsonian, Fortune, The Atlantic, Sports Illustrated, and Time. Choice Magazine Listening invites you to enjoy the unforgettable writing of the world's best minds. We'll also tell you how to get the free Library of Congress Special Player. For your free subscription, call 1-888-7-CHOICE. That's 1-888-724-6423. or on the web at www.choicemagazinelistening.org.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
You know, we are very fortunate in the United States and a lot of the folks that live in Canada and even Great Britain. The technology and the techniques that are available to eye surgeons, ophthalmologists, are doing phenomenal work, the researchers as well as the surgeons. And what I'd like to do is introduce you to a group this morning that would like to help surgeons to be able to perform this very valuable function to people who might not be able to afford it. Joining me on the program are three representatives. I'm going to let Jacob introduce his friends to you, his colleagues to you. So why don't you do that, Jacob?
My name is Jacob Mohan Pasatu. I'm president and CEO for HelpMeC based in New York. And joining me here is Steele Burrow. He is our communications, global communications manager. It's two of us on the call today.
I see. How did this all get started with HelpMeC?
It all got started with a man's vision who was a pioneer in aviation training, using simulators to train pilots to effectively fly safely. Worldwide, it's Flight Safety International. This man's name is Albert Eliochi. He passed away in 2012. And he started with a vision of using the same technology that he developed to train pilots safely and effectively into surgical training for cataract surgeons. So that's how this all started. We started in 2010 with his vision and also his financial support to develop surgical simulators that can train cataract surgeons to perform safe and effective surgery.
You know, today in this country, in a lot of the developed nations, cataracts are something that if somebody is told they have it, they don't take it that serious because we have the technique to go in to remove the cataract and to replace it with a lens or some other form of vision aid so that the patient can see again. But this is marvelous that you're doing this. How do you recruit the doctors that you look for to be able to go out and learn the technique and then to actually start the practice of using the technique that they're taught?
Worldwide, the situation that you described, Bill, that this surgery being available as you need it, is not the case in most of the developing countries.
Mm-hmm.
Like in this country, we do about 3 million cataract surgeries a year for 300 million population.
Wow.
And
yeah.
If you look at the population of China, say for example, China has 300 million people, 1.3 billion people. They barely do about 2.5 million surgeries a year.
Oh, no kidding.
So you can imagine the shortage of surgical services available is endemic, whether it is in China or in India and most of the developing world, and particularly in Africa, where there is not even one surgeon for a million population.
Wow. That's,
so one of the biggest issues is finding these surgeons in adequate numbers who are well qualified to provide these services in these countries. I can give you a typical example of one of the countries where we work in the Gambia. Say, for example, for a population of 2 million, there is not even one ophthalmologist in that country.
I find that very hard to believe, but it also I do believe it because of the probably the economic situation in the country.
That is correct. And then on top of that, the surgical care cost that's needed to get the services, we don't realize how blessed we are because we get that services here in this country. You walk into your ophthalmologist and you get that surgery done. The maximum co-payment, whether it is Medicare or Medicaid or even if it is your insurance, you can afford it. We can afford it.
Right.
And even though the surgery costs about $4,000, $3,500 to $4,000, somebody else is paying for it. But right. That's not the case for most of the population in China or India or in Africa. They need to pay it by themselves. So a surgical practice model that we have here in the United States or in any developing country is not transportable to a developing country environment. So if a surgery costs $4,000, and if your annual income in a country like Madagascar is $400, yeah, that will take them 10 years of their income to pay for their cataract surgery.
And not to have anything else to go along with it either, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
it is impossible for them to afford it. So at the same time, there is a surgical procedure which is tested and proven, which is known as manual small incision cataract surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And this had been practiced for millions of surgeries around the world. So we have taken that surgical procedure because it is very effective, and at the same time, we can deliver that surgery at a cost of not more than $50 anywhere in the world.
That $50 compared to the $3,500 or $4,000, that's amazing.
Correct.
Yeah, that's amazing. But, you know, I say it's amazing here, but even if you look at $50,000 against an income of $400,000, you're looking at 25% of the income for Pete's sake.
That's
20%,
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's amazing. So how do you do your recruitment, Jacob?
So what we do is go into the countries and identify the current ophthalmologists who are practicing the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And with our technical experts, we assess their technical skills or surgical skills very, very thoroughly and see whether they are good surgeons. And if they are not good surgeons, what kind of training is required? And then put them through a very regimented training to provide safe and effective surgery. Now, if the number of surgeons that we can get obviously is not adequate, then we identify ophthalmologists who are not currently practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many ophthalmologists. Say, for example, in China, if there are 30,000 surgeons, hardly about 7,000 of them really practice surgery. The remaining don't practice any surgery. So we go to the remaining surgeons who are not practicing surgery and see whether we can train them up to standard. Once we exhaust that group, then we go to the next level. In the country like Gambia, as I said, there is not even one ophthalmologist who is a surgeon there. And we have ophthalmic nurses who are trained as cataract surgeons who are delivering very good quality, high-volume surgery.
No kidding.
And we have 8 of them who are trained in the Gambia. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in Madagascar. We graduated about 9 of them with the University of Marseille and jointly certified by the Ministry of Health and the University of Marseille and Health Nice. But even this is not adequate to cover the need for surgeries. So our goal is to scale up surgeries by the use of surgical simulators, which we have developed, so we can train about 30,000 surgeons worldwide, whether they are existing surgeons who are already doing surgery or surgeons who are not currently practicing, whom we can upgrade their skills, or we need to train new surgeons with the in collaboration with the ministries of health and the local organizations.
Did you ever consider doing something like the Peace Corps, where you would get a surgeon who would possibly be coming out of medical school and get them to go into a country like Madagascar and the others that you mentioned and be able to serve there for a couple of years, maybe find colleagues that they can teach the technique to and then, you know, do their time and then move on to something else?
I have tried that before in my life, in my professional life. You can do some good with it. but can it be locally sustainable?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you need for every million population, at least about four ophthalmologists who are residing in their own location,
sure,
delivering about 10,000 surgeries every year.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you achieve that scale and impact with those stopgap arrangements? Stopgap arrangements are needed sometimes, and we will sometimes even support it. But at the end of the day, you need a local setup,
yeah,
and preferably more women ophthalmologists who will serve more women population, because our experience is that out of the 60 or 70% blind persons in the developing countries, they have cataract, and more than 60 or 70% of them are women.
If somebody wants to find out more about your organization, do you have a website, or if they want to make a donation or a contribution, do you have a website that they can go to and get a more detailed explanation than what we had just a short opportunity to do here this morning?
Absolutely. www.helpmec.org.
Okay.
www.helpmec.org.
And obviously you don't turn away any donations or anyone who's willing to help out in any way that they possibly can, because it's a marvelous thing that I think you're trying to do, and if we can get more and more people interested, the cataract part of ophthalmology may become a thing of the past, like the Model T Ford or the Edsel, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, we welcome any contribution, because this is a global problem. It is not a problem in the developing country. It's a global problem because our global economy needs those blind people to get back into the workforce.
Yep.
And we also need to prevent people from blind so that they can get the services before, so that they can get their cataract surgery on time, so that they will never be disabled.
Well, Jacob, I appreciate you taking time to talk with me this morning. I, hope that the audience has learned from what you've had to say. Go to the website, and then if they can possibly see it in their heart to make a donation to you.
Well, thank you very much, Bill.
You have a great day, and the show is The Beacon. I'm Bill Jurek. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hey, this is Mike Ditka. I'm asking you to combat vision loss by getting treatment at the Chicago Lighthouse World-Class Rehabilitation Center. Our highly recommended doctors can assist individuals of all ages with reduced vision caused by any eye disease, either congenital or acquired. For your convenience, there are satellite clinics located in Glenview, Elk Grove Village, Flossmoor, Northwestern Memorial Hospital, and our newest site, Trade Winds in Merrillville, Indiana. To make an appointment, call 312-997-3686.
One in six of the wounded U.S. soldiers evacuated from Iraq and Afghanistan battle zones suffered eye injuries. That's the highest rate of eye injuries since the Civil War. The National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, NLS, part of the Library of Congress, is stepping up to help. NLS works with military hospitals, rehab centers, and groups such as the Blinded Veterans Association to make sure that service members who have sacrificed so much for their country can still experience the pleasures of reading. Through the free NLS Talking Book Program, eligible veterans have access to thousands of bestsellers, biographies, westerns, self-help books, and more, and a variety of magazines. Veterans receive priority service from NLS, but any U.S. resident who is blind, has low vision, or cannot hold a book because of a physical illness or disability may sign up for the program. To learn more about what NLS can do for you or a friend or loved one, visit www.loc.gov/NLS or call 1-888-NLS-READ.
Chicagoland, we are very excited about today's program. We have a very esteemed guest joining us today, Dr. Janet P. Schlick, President and Chief Executive Officer right here at the Chicago Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Welcome to the program, Dr. Schlick.
Thank you, Ruth, for having me.
Well, we are just so excited that you can join us, because this is the 110th anniversary of the Chicago Lighthouse, and there's so much going on.
We have many events coming up in the next few months, mm-hmm. You know, in the spring, summer, fall area when the weather is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our House and Garden Walk that's coming up June 23rd, and that's up north with our associate board. July 25th, we have our scholarship reception. We give out about $80,000 to $100,000 in college and graduate school scholarships to students who are blind or visually impaired. Mm-hmm. And that's on July 25th. Mm-hmm. We have our golf outing, which benefits our Chicago Lighthouse North location in Glenview. And that's August 29th at the North Shore Country Club. So if you're a golfer, please join us. October 17th, we have our Flair Philanthropy Fun Fashion Event at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, and that's a luncheon. So we'll have a wonderful fashion show. We preview new designers, some already existing longtime designers, and it's a lot of fun. And we have, this year we'll be honoring Christina McGrath, and our co-chairs are Jamie Haig and Vanita Reeser.
And this is the sixth annual?
That is the sixth annual Flair event.
Wonderful.
But the really big event is happening June 3rd, Friday. And new this year, it's a black tie preferred because it's such a special event. And we'll be really telling the story of the lighthouse. Jason Wiesner, his very talented videographer, is telling the story of the lighthouse in very brief video segments across the evening to keep people's attention captured.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll be really entertaining. We're honoring Dr. Joel Kaplan, who's one of the founders of the Lighthouse. I see him. He's built so many programs here. He's a world-renowned retinologist and friend of the Lighthouse, former board chair. And also we'll be honoring Alderman Ed and Illinois Supreme Court Justice Ann Burke, who was very influential in building the Special Olympics programs.
Oh, wonderful.
So a lot going on and a lot of activities that should appeal to everyone. We have something to appeal to everyone.
Now, how can we get more information?
You can go to our website, which has our events section, and it's a brand new website that we just debuted in December. We're very proud of it. It's at www.chicagolighthouse.org, or you can call the Lighthouse at 312-666-1331 and ask for the Financial Development Department, and they'll give you more information on events.
Let's give that telephone number one more time.
312-666-1331.
Well, Dr. Schlick, we only have a minute or so left. What would you like our audience to know?
I'd like our audience to know that we are here as a resource for you at any age. Should you be affected by vision loss, or if you know someone, one of your loved ones is affected by vision loss, that we're a place that's very positive. We are very upbeat in our approach. There are solutions. You can continue living and enjoying your life if you are faced with vision loss. And it's really an exciting, positive place. So, I'd like people to know that. That's important.
And what if they'd like to volunteer with the Lighthouse? How do they get involved with that?
We'd love to have you volunteer. Again, same number in the same department. You just say you'd like to volunteer. You can also go on the website and scroll down to volunteers, and there's a sign-up sheet there.
Chicagoland, we are just so fortunate to have Dr. Schlick as the head of the Chicago Lighthouse. She does a wonderful job for all of the 38 programs and then some here at the Lighthouse. And we are just so proud that you are with us.
Thank you so much, Ruth, for having us and being so supportive of the Chicago Lighthouse. You're a great friend.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
If you are a veteran looking for a job, or if you know an unemployed veteran, Paralyzed Veterans of America's Employment Office, Operation PAVE at the Hines VA in Chicago can help. Our services are free. To learn more, visit OperationPAVE.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Disability is something most people don't like to think about, but a 35-year-old man has a 1 in 5 chance of becoming disabled during his working lifetime. A woman of the same age has a 1 in 4 chance. If you become disabled and are unable to work, you may apply for Social Security disability benefits. There are two ways you can apply. The fastest and most convenient way is online at www.socialsecurity.gov. Or you may call 1-800-772-1213 to make an appointment to apply at your local Social Security office or to set up an appointment for someone to take your application over the phone. Learn more about disability benefits and take advantage of the helpful Disability Starter Kit at www.socialsecurity.gov/disability. That's www.socialsecurity.gov/disability.
We are going to wrap up our smoothie series.
Oh, yes. This is rocket science right here. For sure.
Yeah, but that's important, though, too.
I agree.
So we're gonna let us turn up the beat. Lainey Kleeman and the last
of our smoothie series.
So, young lady, take it away.
Thank you, darling. Today I'm going to be talking about a substitute for Pediasure, which is Pediasure is a nutritional drink for children, but it's not. It's loaded with chemicals and sugar and all the typical stuff that I talk about week after week after week. So I've actually found a homemade recipe for Pediasure online, which is essentially, smoothies that's full of whole food. I make this for my kids daily. And they won't eat anything, but they will both, TJ especially.
Right.
TJ is just, he's just a junk, all he wants is junk food. He will sit down and he will suck this dry. So
my
I
man,
live by
though,
it.
Yeah. Junk food.
Oh yeah. And both he and my daughter will, repeatedly ask for this. So this has become a daily staple in our house.
Sure.
So this is a homemade replacement for Pediasure if you want to give your kids, and it's a great way to get in their greens and their fresh fruits and their fresh veggies and they think that they're getting a treat. So it's a win all around.
Okay.
So you're going to start with 2 cups of fresh spinach, 2 cups of liquid. You can use rice milk, almond milk, coconut milk, or water. I actually use coconut water, which is loaded with potassium, so I use that as my liquid.
Okay.
2 tablespoons of chia seed.
I heard of that.
Chia. Yes. Now, I don't love
chia. The thing that you kind of spray is spread on those animals at Christmas time.
That's what it is. That's exactly
really?
What, yeah, that's what it is.
Wow, that means I have a Santa Claus growing in my stomach.
Yep, that's right. So the chia seed, but chia seed actually gets really gelatinous when it gets wet.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake yesterday of putting it in my daughter's smoothie and making the smoothie, but she wasn't awake yet, so I just kind of let it sit until she was awake. But the chia seeds get really gelatinous, and then they don't blend well. They, blend in clumps, which she didn't like. So I would say hold off on the chia seed until right before you're ready to blend it, and then it pulverizes it so it doesn't get nearly... the texture of the smoothie gets a little bit fluffier.
Sure.
But it's not clumps of gelatinous seeds.
Right, and you can drink it then.
Right, exactly, exactly. So I also will use flax meal or hemp seed to blend in there as well. 1 cup of mango, fresh or frozen, 1 cup of pineapple, 2 bananas, and an ounce of microgreens, which you can get in the, buy the spinach and the kale at the grocery store. It comes in a little pint-sized container.
Okay.
And it's basically just microgreens are sprouts almost of different types of vegetables.
All
So they're not as pungent as sprouts are.
Sure.
But they're, they're baby broccolis and they're great, but they look like sprouts. They haven't developed into the actual vegetable yet. So you can find those typically in the grocery store near the greens section.
Sure. Okay.
So you use an ounce of microgreens, and then you can put in, if you want a little more protein, put in a tablespoon of almond butter or peanut butter, something along those lines.
Oh, that sounds good.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
And this serves 3. I mean, this is a lot of fruit that you're putting in here, and so you don't want to sit down and drink it by yourself because it's a lot of sugar.
Right.
But so this is a 3-person serving. And it's got, it's loaded with vitamins and nutrients and all the healthy stuff that our kiddos need to stay healthy. So
did you happen to hear in a study not too long ago that they did, I think, at New York Hospital, where they said they've experimented with children about peanuts.
Okay.
And they start giving the peanuts at a very young age, and they don't have an allergy.
I've heard that. Because they tell us now, or at least when TJ was an infant 4 years ago, don't give him peanuts until 2 years old, I think it was, because they might have an allergy to it. But I think that they're finding that if they're exposed to these allergens at an early age, they are less likely to develop allergies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I agree with you.
Yep.
So that's it for this week?
That's it, baby.
Where will they find that recipe?
On our Facebook page at Chicago Beacon or on Twitter at Chicago Beacon as well.
All right. And this is the Beacon program. We'll be back after this.
That smells good.
Well, look who came out of his man cave.
Game must be over.
Oh, babe, just checking on you and dinner.
Well, your summer clock is fast. It's gonna be a while. How about some celery?
Nah, that's rabbit food. There must be something good in here.
Well, why don't you why don't you...
You okay?
Oh.
Honey!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke. Many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Well, Miss Murillo is here waiting, but she's going to have to wait just a few minutes. Because, you know, we air this program every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 on WCPT. And then it airs again on Wednesday night on Chris Radio, which you can access by the Chicago Lighthouse website. And, you know, go to the banner marked for Chris Radio. Listen live, and you'll be able to hear the show again, especially for the recipe. Because that's a pretty involved recipe this week.
Yes, it was. There was a lot to it.
Yep, that was a pretty involved recipe. And then we had, you know, whatever else is on the show that you may be interested in.
Yeah, we talked to Dr. Demetrius Vavas this week about the cholesterol, about Lipitor helping AMD. Sure. So, yeah, lots of good stuff.
You can find out what's going on the program that way, or you can podcast us, too. And that happens as of noontime on Monday. So there's no excuse for you to say, I'm not getting the show. Because we give you all kinds of opportunities to get the show.
That's right.
Well, Sandy Murillo, of course, is just a wonderful, very, very talented, and very, very terrific journalist. And she's going to join us now to tell us all about what's on Sandy's View.
Welcome to another edition of Sandy's View. This morning, I have two very distinguished guests from the Publicity Club of Chicago. Joining me are Tim Frisbee, who's the president of the Publicity Club, and Dominic Calabrese, who is our very own vice president here at the Chicago Lighthouse of Public Relations. Welcome to you both for joining us, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Sandy.
Thanks for having us.
Great. Well, Tim, starting with you, I know that you're the president of the Publicity Club. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about the club?
Sure. So the Publicity Club of Chicago is the largest independent membership-based PR organization in the nation, which, you know, we're really excited about. And we were founded in 1941. We're actually celebrating our 75th anniversary this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have hundreds of members in all different areas of the PR profession, from big agencies to small agencies to corporations, nonprofits. And really what the PCC tries to do is give a forum where everyone can come together, learn from one another, meet members of the media, and just kind of support one another and help us do our jobs better.
And spread the word to the public about the different, you know, places that you work for and the different programs that are out there, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So we have one of our main focuses is on networking. You know, it's always, we have a monthly lunch, you know, once a month, and we just did a great speed pitching event hosted by Edelman in Chicago where we had a bunch of journalists come in and everyone, it was almost like a speed dating kind of setup, you know, where everyone had a chance to, you know, talk a little bit about their company and introduce themselves and if they had a story, they could pitch it. So we do try and also provide those opportunities where people can further their advancement in their own career and get the word out about their company and all the great stuff that they do.
You know, and speaking about events, I know that you guys have a major award ceremony and dinner upcoming. It'll be on June 2nd, and you guys will be awarding the Trumpet Awards. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Tim?
Sure, I'd love to. So, yeah, June 2nd, mark your calendars. It'll be that evening at the Palmer House Hilton in Chicago. And this is our annual Golden Trumpets dinner and gala. So we do it once a year, but, of course, this year is extra special because we're celebrating our 75th anniversary. And this is actually, I think, the 57th year that we're giving out the Golden Trumpet Awards. So this is a chance for all of the folks in Chicago to put forward their best PR campaign from the past year. So it could be crisis communications, public affairs, the launch of a new product, the opening of a business. And this is basically, you know, they submit it. It's judged by a group of, you know, seasoned professionals. And then we award the very best campaigns mm-hmm. at the Golden Trumpets. So this year we've got a great keynote speaker. Desiree Rogers is going to be there, who of course is a proud Chicagoan. You know, she's the chair of CHU Chicago, CEO of Janssen Publishing. She was Barack Obama's White House social secretary. Mm-hmm. So we're very excited to have her, and she's going to be talking a little bit about communications and leadership in Chicago. We're also very excited to honor Bridget Kofing, who is she's the chief communications officer at McDonald's for 30 years. She's, you know, she just retired. She's accepting a Lifetime Achievement Award, and she's going to talk a little bit about her career. You know, she's done everything from work on the Olympics with McDonald's to overseeing the redesign of the menu, working a lot with Ronald McDonald House and programs for kids. So we're really excited to have both of them, as well as our celebrity MC, Mike Kaplan, the beloved meteorologist from Fox 32, who's, you know, got great energy and great personality. He's going to be there steering things along.
You know, and we also know that the Chicago Lighthouse, where we record the Beacon, will also be receiving a Trumpet Award this year. We'll go into that in a minute. But, Dominic, can you tell us a little bit? I know that this year we have a very impressive list of guest speakers, and you've also had countless others like Jimmy Carter and countless others. Can you tell us a little bit about the history?
Well, thank you, Sandy. And as Tim mentioned, we're celebrating our 75th anniversary, which is a really big milestone for us. And really, anyone who's anyone in PR has been associated with the Publicity Club over the years, not only of all the top flight agencies been members, but members of the different freelance organizations, nonprofit agency, educational institutions. But we've attracted a number of outstanding guest speakers. You mentioned former President Jimmy Carter. We also had all the mayors of Chicago attended our lunches, spoken at our lunches. We've had both Christie and Hugh Hefner addressed our lunches. We've had network anchor folks, Mike Wallace, addressed the Publicity Club lunch. So we've really attracted the top names in journalism and communications to address our lunches. And it's a wonderful organization. I've been personally helped by it. You know, as Tim mentioned, the networking opportunities are invaluable. And the opportunity here of job openings, opportunity to improve your skills in our profession, learn new trends. I can't say enough good things about it.
And can you tell us a little bit about the Lighthouse? I know that it's been a recipient of quite a few Trumpet Awards, so that's also impressive in itself.
Well, it's something all of us are proud of. Really, it speaks to the way the Publicity Club reaches out to the mm-hmm. community, that enables nonprofits like the Lighthouse to, you know, present their wares and to be judged for the things that they do. And we've won eight Golden Trumpet Awards and 3 Silver Awards over the past 10 years. We are scheduled to win 2 awards this year. But the neat thing that we've done just recently is that we have an evening ceremony. Mm-hmm. And also, we don't tell you in advance of whether you've won a gold or silver. It's almost like the Oscars, where mm-hmm. there's an element of surprise.
Sure.
So for the person who's, you know, told they've won an award, they don't know whether it's silver or gold. So they find it out that evening, which adds to the fun and suspense of the evening, and I think really enhances its appeal. But we're scheduled to win a couple of Trumpet Awards for our website and annual report. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to wait until the night to find out whether we want a gold or silver.
Yeah, and if I could just add on John's comment, I mean, the guest speakers are great, but the real stars of the show are the campaign. Mm-hmm. It's like the two from Chicago Lighthouse that Dominic was mentioning. You know, it's really great Chicago is such a great PR town. You know, we always say that there's publicists on the West Coast and there's, you know, people doing PR work on the East Coast, but in Chicago, this is where all the big firms are headquartered. This is where people look for strategic communications that build brands and build reputations, and so it's really great to see all the work coming out of the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in this case of nonprofits, the fact that, you know, PR is also very involved with nonprofit organizations, and can you tell us a little bit about that, Dominic, about what role PR plays with nonprofits and including people with disabilities?
You know, I teach part-time at Columbia. I teach an intro to PR class, and I always tell my students the diversity of the public relations profession, that it's very welcoming to people of all backgrounds, to women, to minorities, to people with disabilities. And it doesn't matter what you look like, what your name is, what your background is, but whether you can do the job. So PR is a very welcoming profession, and it's really very diverse. And organizations like the Lighthouse can get recognition for the work that it mm-hmm. does, and individuals who are blind or visually impaired or have other disabilities can get into the profession and can show what they can do. So that's a big appeal to the Publicity Club, because the Publicity Club kind of channels all that energy and diversity, mm-hmm. and it's reflected in our members, and it's in our profession. So it's something all of us who do the profession are very proud of.
And I understand that you guys also have a career Day, can you tell us a little bit about? Can any of you tell us a little bit about the scholarships, the career opportunities?
Yeah, well, Tara's sure, really spearheaded the Career Day program, so we'll let Tim talk about that.
Yeah, just, you know, to as we should have mentioned earlier, you know, the, in addition to the networking and all the things we're doing to help people who are in the PR field now, we really do try and keep an eye on the next generation as well and helping them have some of the tools they need to get that career started in Chicago, you know, as they go into the profession. And one of the ways we've started doing it is through an annual Career Day, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it gives everyone the opportunity. One, we all meet together down with Dominic at Columbia College in the morning. We have a program for, you know, this is for college students, people who are just about to graduate or maybe, you know, 1 or 2 years away from that, or even recent graduates. Mm-hmm. But we talk about, here's some tips on interviewing, here's what firms are looking for, here's what you can expect in your first job. And then after that, we give everyone a chance to select a PR firm that they want to go tour. And we coordinate all that for them so they can go, you know, walk down the street downtown and they can go to Edelman, Burson Marsteller, Fleischmann Hillard, sure. any of these big firms, and they have a chance to meet with the people there, give them their resume, try and make a great first impression, and then also just ask questions and learn a little bit more about what these companies are looking for and kind of what the day in the life of a young PR professional might look like.
Great. So it really, you know, the club, it sounds like it covers everyone, you know, from the young student interested in PR to the seasoned professional, you know, who needs more networking or advice. So it sounds like the Publicity Club does, you know, covers the whole spectrum with PR.
It really does.
Absolutely. And I'll let Dominic talk. We also have a scholarship program that I'll let Dominic
go. Well, yeah, thank you, Tim. Well, the scholarship program in a way goes hand in glove with the Career Day because it does encourage, you know, students to pursue their education. It's open to students with an interest in public relations who have an outstanding academic background, and we encourage Chicago area students to apply for it. We hope to make the awards available this fall, and we generally present them at our December luncheon to wrap up the year. Mm-hmm. And more information will be available about that on our website, www.publicity.org, but we certainly encourage any deserving Chicago, you know, student in the Chicago area interested in public relations to apply.
I understand that on your website we can find not just about the scholarships, but also about how to become a member, about the trumpet award ceremony, and about all the exciting things that you have to offer. Can either of you, can you, Tim, can you repeat the website for us, please?
Sure. www.publicity.org. Or actually, you don't even need the three W's if you want to just go to publicity.org. We were fortunate enough many years ago our board saw the chance to grab a great URL for our website, and we've been sitting on it ever since.
But
you can
buy
the Golden Bucket tickets there. You can sign up as a member, and you can get all the information that you need.
Great. Well, thank you both for joining us today, and congratulations to all the Trumpet Award recipients, and best of luck to everyone in the Publicity Club. And I know that Dominic will soon be the president next year, so congratulations, Dom.
Well, thank you. I'll have a tough job to follow in Tim's footsteps. He's done an outstanding job for us. I hope I'm up to the honor.
We'll see. We'll wait till the end of the year to see if everyone still feels that way.
I know they will. By the way, Tim, we should send Sandy an application. I think she'd be a great addition to the Publicity Club.
Absolutely.
Love all right. Well, thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you,
thank
Sandy.
You.
Yep.
Are you ready for these two characters?
I'm always ready for them.
I know. You know what? They're so good.
They brighten my day.
They brighten my day, too, and I think they brighten a lot of our listeners' day as well.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going into the corner. We have to walk down the street over here, and it's nice weather now, so we don't mind doing that.
Yeah, we can take our sweaters off.
Absolutely. Walk down, head up to the porch. Tap on the door, and as we have that music going in the background, and Mr. Brian Hawkins and Mr. Tom Persky, Mr. IT, well, not IT, but Mr.
Technology.
Mr. Digital Technology is here to join
us. That's appropriate.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome in Tom's Corner. Brian Hawkins here with Tom Persky. And, Tom, we're lucky again today. We have another guest.
Yes, we do. We have a special guest. Brian, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great.
That's good. That's good. So Laura Hayes is with us from the Chicago Lighthouse, occupational therapist working with our Low Vision Center. Thanks for coming, Laura.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, and, you know, since the sun is finally shining now on a consistent basis, and we've been traveling around to road shows and talking to people a lot recently about sunglasses and what they should be consider wearing them, especially for eye conditions like, you know, macular degeneration and glaucoma, diabetes, and so forth. So what are some of the key things that you point out when you meet with patients who have low vision?
Certainly. Let's talk a little bit about that. First, people are a lot happier when the sun's out, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so.
That's always a good thing. So when that comes up as a topic, one of the big things I always emphasize is the importance of the design of the frame if they are going to pick a filter. And I really do recommend either going with a fit-over design, which can actually fit over the glasses that they're wearing, as well as a wraparound can also work well because that goes quite close to them and blocks a lot of the light when it comes in.
Sort of from every angle.
Yes, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Light doesn't just come from straight on. Depending on where you are, if you're sitting in the car or what position you're in, it might be coming in from the side. And so it's really important to make sure you've got that full coverage. So that is something I recommend is considering that initially. And then the other big piece is the tint. And that's really dependent on the individual. You know, there's no really right answer with it. It's more just what feels good for that person.
I hear from people mm-hmm. all the time. They say, well, when I put on sunglasses, I can't see as well. Mm-hmm. And then I'm afraid I might trip or whatever.
Right. So a dark tint sometimes can, if it's too dark, might concern somebody because they're not able to see as well. So what's nice about a lot of the filters we'll evaluate is there are a range of colors. So we have everything from more of a yellow, which can allow a little more light in, which a lot of people do enjoy and prefer. There are oranges, hazelnut, which is sort of an amber type color, more of a red or pinky color we can look at to darker grays. So there's a lot for everybody depending on what they're most comfortable with.
And the ambers, I know we've always been told that they help sort of heighten the contrast of things.
Yes. And same thing I find with the yellow pair. A lot of times people, when they'll put that on, sometimes they may feel that they just have a little bit more contrast with that. They might be able to see a little bit more sharpness with those on as well. So, of course, it is, you know, very individual, and I recommend everybody, trying it out first before just, purchasing it. But I definitely have had success with that as well.
So, yeah, I know there's, been lots of research, but it really does come down to almost personal preference,
mm-hmm.
doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the major brands and colors that you mm-hmm. normally would show that would be the most popular, would you say?
Yeah, I work a lot with Cocoons. That's a pretty common brand that we do have here at the Lighthouse. Uh-huh. Also, Noirs is another brand that I do like as well. They have quite a range of tints and colors with different light transmission levels. So sometimes I'll turn more to the Noirs if I'm really looking for a really, precise level of transmission that's sometimes hard to find with other brands.
I know the Noir, N-O-I-R, they've been around a long time
mm-hmm.
since I've been in the field.
Yeah.
I go back to the late 70s when
mm-hmm.
I started wearing
mm-hmm.
N-O-I-R. But they're a great company.
Yes.
And over the years, I've tried to figure out, what kinds of sunglasses do I need on one particular day? So actually I have four or five mm-hmm. different ones, right? So I have like you mentioned, the real dark ones. The darkest one I have is actually a 4% lens. So mm-hmm. when there's snow on the ground and it's sunny out and I'm walking to work,
and that glare can be pretty
face, I can
mm-hmm.
feel it crunching up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I put those glasses on and my whole face mm-hmm. and body relaxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So would people maybe consider getting more than one pair for different reasons?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the weather is not the same every day. As we know, we have sometimes bright sunny days and other days are very overcast. And I find overcast days can really yield a lot of glare. But you might not want to be wearing necessarily the darkest pair of glasses on a more overcast day, something maybe a little bit brighter, but that still cuts down on that glare. Can be really beneficial for people.
How about indoor glare?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, indoor glare. I mean, there's lots of different lights, and depending on the positioning of the light, the angle of the light, we can be sensitive as well. So making sure that we can evaluate that, and that's something we do here at the lighthouse is test them both inside, or we could go outside with the weather and make sure we're finding the right fit for somebody.
Some people don't think of that, but it really mm-hmm. can be a problem with mm-hmm. these Costco and places that are
oh,
super
yeah.
bright lights. I know we talk about also sometimes with a lighter pair, like an mm-hmm. indoor glare,
mm-hmm.
to also wear like a baseball cap mm-hmm. or a visor.
Yeah.
That would also block the glare.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing both, blocking the glare with the visor and keeping your glasses on.
Absolutely, yeah. I generally, a lot of times when the light comes from above, we have a lot of that glare problem. So just a simple hat or visor can help at least kind of manage the issue for people pretty quickly and easily.
So that's awesome. So talk about the clinics and people want to come see you, and how does it work?
So to come see me, I'm in the low vision clinic, and I work alongside with our doctors, the low vision optometrists. And typically what we kind of do in terms of flow is a person would come in and have a low vision eye exam with the optometrist just to evaluate what we're doing in terms of optical devices and just get a better sense and picture of where their vision currently is. And then they can write a recommendation and referral for occupational therapy if things come up during that exam that warrant further exploration of things. So glare could be a perfect right. example of something that somebody might be having difficulty with, and then the doctor would write a referral for occupational therapy for me to evaluate further the tints and colors and sizing and all of that.
All right, terrific. Well, if you've not been to a low vision exam, you should consider it. Calling our number is 312-997-3686 to make an appointment or find out also what's covered under Medicare, what's not covered, and find out more for yourself and for your family member.
Great.
That'd be great.
Now, Tom, when you have your road shows, do you include filters in the...
Yes, we do. We have the Knorr filters. There's one pair that is called 47, which is a topaz color, and comes in like a smaller frames, not so clunky, or the universal size. And when I take the women outside, 99 out of 100 pick the topaz lens. I have no idea why, but I learned that in Arizona when I was there, because there was glare all the time.
Right.
And then when I take the men outside, they choose the 533, mm-hmm. which is the amber color.
Interesting.
And the 533 lens, there's 10 years of research in that lens. They remember the old blue blockers were 100% blue light. Knorr found out that if they only block 96% of the light, that these 533 lenses allow 4% through, and they actually can see better.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some reason, the men always pick that lens, so it's wild.
Interesting.
I don't tell them that when I go outside
right.
with them, but
they always pick
so
it.
So that's what I show at the road shows mostly, is the amber and the topaz, yeah.
Okay.
So kind of wild. So.
And when are the next ones coming up?
Yeah, May 24th, we've got our show in Worth coming up in the south suburbs. So we look forward to that on our Founder Square location that's sponsored by the private bank. Of course, the Lions Clubs sponsor us to go out into the community. June 7th, we're looking forward to Schaumburg Township, which is right on the border there in Hoffman Estates. And their newsletter, as you mentioned last week, Brian, put us right on the front cover of their... So we're expecting thousands will be there that day. Yeah. So we look forward to having everyone come out. It's free. It's open to the public. We start at 10. We end at 3. So it's an open house. So just come before 3, of course, because that's when we pack up and leave. So anytime between 10 and 2, and meet our staff and learn more about all these devices.
All right. Well, thanks to Laura Hayes for coming in and talking about filters and glare. And, of course, he's Tom Persky. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis. From its simple beginnings right here on Chicago's West Side, where it was founded in 1906, it has grown into one of America's most comprehensive social service agencies, serving people who are blind or visually impaired. Today, the Chicago Lighthouse offers world-class services in vision care, adaptive technology, job training and placement, rehabilitation, education, and many other areas. As more and more elderly Americans cope with vision loss, the Lighthouse will face greater challenges in expanding its critical programs. To see how you can help, please call 312-666-1331 or visit us at chicagolighthouse.org. The Chicago Lighthouse, seeing what's possible for more than 100 years.
Going to do it for us this week. Full program. We really appreciate you being here. And of course, there was nothing wrong with the Let Us Turn Up the Beat segment.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
It was thank terrific. You. It was adequate.
No, it was good. It was good. So.
It killed some time that we needed to kill.
Well, we had to kill you. We beat it to death with that. So, at any rate, thanks to Dr. Janet Slick and the board of directors of the Chicago Lighthouse. They make this show possible every week. And who's that little young lady that comes in here?
Little Miss Murillo.
Yep, Sandra Murillo, who does our associate producer, helps line up guests, and also contributes with Sandy's View. And finally, last but certainly not least, you save the best for last.
You do.
And that's Mr. Brian Hawkins.
There he is.
He is by far one of the most talented people that I know. So that's going to take care of it for us. I'm Bill Shurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And we will see you back here next week. Actually, it's going to be a profile show next week.
So 2 weeks.
Right here. 2 weeks, yep.
Okay.
Right here on the Beacon.